Local news and weather every hour on WWGH Radio are supported by Ohio Health.
Hey, it's Weasel. You're listening to Talk Today's Top and Trendy Technology Topics every Tuesday and Thursday with Adam Lepp, the computer guy, between 2:13 p.m. and 3 right here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lepp!
And goodness sake, you're speaking of Talking Today's Top Technology Topics, talking about weasels and other members of the animal kingdom, I believe we have a special virtual guest right here in the studio. Let me see if this virtual guest has reported for duty. Virtual guest, come in, please.
Hello?
Hello, how are you doing today?
Good, it's Weasel.
It is the famous Weasel Boy.
I don't know about that, but I just I wanted to call in and say hello and say I'm a big fan of your show.
Well, we're glad to hear that. People listen, people enjoy the program, and don't laugh too hard. Now, Weasel, the rumor is that on this upcoming show on Saturday, you will be dining on delicacies. I'm not referring to fancy French cuisine or maybe something from the famous chefs in the area. You will be dining on products purchased, possibly at your local discount grocery store. Tell us more about your taste testing you'll be performing this Saturday.
Well, we're going to do a kind of, I guess you would call it a public service announcement. We're going to do the top 10 dog foods that we found online, and we're going to do that just to make sure, you know, you feed your dog something and they eat it every day. You're not exactly sure how it tastes, right? Is that true? So we're going to taste it for you.
I would think that, you know, many dogs provide more value and companionship than other family members, so I think it's logical to want to know exactly what the delicacies upon which they dine taste like. That's a very good point. You have a family dog, I do believe, Tucker, right?
Tucker, yeah, I have two, Tucker and Lucy. And you know what? To be honest with you, I've never tasted their food. They eat a certain kind, and I just wonder, you know, I was talking to Heather about it, I just wonder what it would taste like. There's wet food, there's dog, you know, dry dog food, so I'm thinking, you know, you're more than welcome to come in, Adam, if you want to come in Saturday and help us taste it. That would be fantastic.
Okay, well, if I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and don't mind coming down there, why not? Now, your dogs probably eat table scraps. They eat people food, so I think it's logical that you should eat their food. It's kind of a logical exchange, isn't it?
It is, and then, you know, we'll have a couple of Canadian brands because those folks up north say whatever they feed their dogs, they would be willing to eat as well. So we're going to kind of just compare the taste to see if that's true. You know, you look at the ingredients, and then you see, you know, some of them have a lot of filler in them, and some of them don't. So we'll do the top 10 and kind of compare and see, even do the store brand versus the name brand. We'll do that as well.
Are those
we'll see
fancy
what happens.
Brands like Blue Buffalo really worth what they charge?
I know a small bag of that's what, like $20, something like that, compared to like a big bag of O'Roy, that would be like $6. So you're just going to see the difference.
Yeah,
versus taste, I guess. That's all we can base it off of.
Cost isn't necessarily related to the quality or the tastiness. And
I think it would be.
Yeah, but not necessarily, though. So
we'll wait and see. So how are you doing today?
Not too bad. Enjoying the spring weather. Not too warm outside. And my allergies are doing pretty good. Not too much pollen due to the somewhat cool temperatures and some of the rain that we've been getting. So a decent mid-spring day here in the great city of Marion, O.H.
Now, I see. I grew up in Marion, born in 78, graduated from Harding in 96. And I'll tell you, like, it's such a cool place to, you know, even visit, but to grow up. I grew up in Fair Park, and I don't know. You and I both now live in Columbus. So going up there is really cool for me. Just it feels like you're home again. So I love it.
Yeah, it has.
I love Marion.
It has that feeling where it's not too big, not too small. Always something to do. You always run into interesting people.
Especially like Scott Spears. He's one of those interesting people.
He certainly would be one of the most interesting Homo sapiens you're likely to encounter in the course of your daily travels.
That's right.
What about this dog collar you'll be wearing, Weasel? Is that a true rumor you'll be wearing that?
I don't know. You know, some of these posts I'm not familiar with, but I see that, you know, one's going to be accompanied. Because we have, we've trained our dogs kind of with that and decided opted out because it was, it's supposed to be static and not electricity. You know, I've been tasered, all of these things, but I don't know if that's true. And we have a couple of those, so it wouldn't surprise me that it shows up. I don't know. I hope not.
So one thing about the Weasel program, there was always a surprise. Last show, kind of a Mother's Day theme, we heard from the Weezettes and your lovely wife. I'm not sure if her name is Heather or Jennifer, but whatever her name is.
She'll answer to both nowadays.
Yeah,
so
we heard from her. So, and the lovely the lovely family that you are the patriarch of. What did the kids think about being on the radio? Did they think it was cool? Did they think it was silly? Did they kind of admire you more, being their father and being a big radio star? What was their
I don't know about all that, but I think that they had a good time. Some of their friends were listening, and then some of their teachers, you know, get involved with it. So they liked that part of it. They weren't sure what to expect. You know, they got shy at home. They're normally not. You know, they'll let you just have it, and they're 100% all the time. But it was funny to see them get behind those microphones and not really sure what to say. I thought it was great if they could stay in there all the time.
Yeah,
that would
just
be great.
It's the opposite of me, you know, because I'm more reserved in person until I get to know somebody. But on the air, put me in front of a microphone, even if it's karaoke, and I'm like, I don't care. I don't care if 1,000 people are listening. I don't care how dumb I sound. It's different, the personalities that you see when people get in front of a microphone. And to me, it's never been an issue. I'm kind of the opposite.
So you're reserved in your personal life, but then you go on the radio or behind the karaoke mic, and then you don't care.
Yeah,
see, that's how I am.
I'm
not a good singer, so I don't do that. But I, you know, I guess you go on the radio and you just want to entertain and make people laugh.
Yeah, I'm a.
And I'll go to any extent to do that. So.
I have more of a talking voice than a singing voice, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's until I get to know somebody, I'm not the most socially debonair person you're likely to meet, to put it mildly. But in front of a microphone, yeah, it just, everybody has a different personality, and some people just kind of predisposed to that. And you know, as you know, Weasel, when you do live radio, you can't run out of things to say, and you have to keep your brain 10 seconds ahead of your mouth and always know what you're going to be talking about. That way you never have any dead air, never at a loss for, even if what you say doesn't make a lot of sense, you kind of find a way to make it interesting. And as I like to say, you can always make fun of yourself, you can always make a wisecrack, and I'm never at a loss for those.
Either am I. And that's what's great about my, you know, having those guys come in, my family. It was so cool to see them do something that you really are passionate about, that you love, but then they just are different. They take a different approach, and they got really quiet. They were fun, but I just think, you know, you had that initial, they were fascinated by it, and I think they, who knows, we'll wait and see. They always say what they want to grow up to be. You know, one of them wants to be an engineer, one wants to be a teacher and a doctor, but I don't know, maybe one of them will follow in dad's footsteps and ruin some people's lives.
None of them want to be a fireman. Most of the kids I grew up with, they wanted to be a fireman. There must be
I don't know. I don't think my kids are wired that way, but I mean, we'll support whatever they want to do, but I would have to guess if they are like they are now, and you're in that situation, and you're waiting on them to rescue you, you might be in some trouble. You might be in some big trouble.
That might sum it up. Your wife seems to have taken very kindly to the airwaves. It seems like she was on the air more than you were last week. She really is enjoying this spotlight and enjoying our microphones.
She's so outgoing, and she's funny. We're a lot alike, and we're finding out more so as we do this. But anytime she can take a jab at me and, you know, physically harm me or mentally, you'll see her outgoing side. So I think this Saturday we're going to take another level up, and we'll just see what happens.
A couple more questions for you, Weasel.
We
know your last name, of course. It's Harrison.
Yep.
And so, if you have another kid, are you going to name him Archie? And so you'd have like a royal baby as one of your kids. I was kind of wondering about that when I heard the name.
I saw the name, we're related, so now we're royalty, but unfortunately, in our household, I don't think physically that would be possible for us to have another child. So So, but if we did, yeah, I think we would name it Archie. I think we would go that route.
That would be an interesting turn of events. It was one of the first things that I thought of is that, I know Dr. Feynman and I talked about it, and tongues are wagging all over the world about naming a royal baby Archie, because that's not... Doesn't sound royal.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I guess it's a popular name again.
I mean, I like the name. I think about Archie Bunker and Archie the comic strip. It sounds.
Yeah, me too.
But it sounds like the guy you have beer with on Saturday, or it
on
sounds
Saturday,
like your uncle's name. It doesn't sound like a royal baby's name, but I do like the name. It's not like Arthur, again, Louis, Charlotte. These royal names. It sounds a little different. But we know Prince Harry. He doesn't mind being rebellious.
And no, he doesn't, and you know I respect that. So I think you and I are a lot like that as well.
And most important thing is he and Megan love each other, and
yep.
She certainly is beautiful, like it seems like all the royal brides are, and that's important. And why not name your kid Archie Harrison? It is a nice name. It just is a little bit different, and it is.
There's no thought behind it either. You know, people were analyzing it, where it's going to come from, their origin. But it was just simple. Harry's son. And I look at my last name a little bit different now.
Yeah,
Chad Harry's son.
Yeah, that was one of the first things I thought of. Was like, well, goodness sakes, could there be a royal weasel baby sometime in the future? Who knows? You know, life...
It would have big ears and a big forehead, that's for sure.
Life certainly can throw you a curve, and that's all part of the fun. You know, just when you thought you figured everything out, it gets just a teeny tiny bit crazier. So... What kind of feedback, Weasel, have you had from your show? I mean, all your many friends and fans from your long career in radio, have they made positive comments, and do they get up every morning?
It seems like everybody's enjoying it. It seems like we kind of have the feel of, hey, what are we going to do next kind of vibe. A lot of people want to get involved. A lot of people want to come on, and it's cool. Like, your neighbors will stop and say, hey, how is your face still red? Is it, you know, so it's kind of... We want to keep everybody on their toes, so that's what we're doing. So
you become a neighborhood celebrity. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, if you will.
And last but not least, the charcoal face mask that you demoed. You and I were talking off the air about methods of skincare. And, you know, both of us, I think we both look quite a bit younger than our actual age, which is certainly a very good thing. And
I don't
know if it's because of using charcoal face masks, or like me, I'm addicted to sunscreen and moisturizer and...
Right.
Vitamins and whatever else. Do you think that charcoal face mask thing you used worked? Are you going to try it on your own? What's your assessment of that skincare demo that you did last weekend?
I think it probably rips your face off. I don't think it's a good... I wouldn't recommend doing that, because I think your face has natural... oils and different things that it needs. So I would say I'm on your side with it. I think you need to moisturize your face. I think you need to take care of your face. And I don't think that would require or mean that you put something as sticky as possible on your face and just tug everything that you have in your pores and on your face off. I wouldn't recommend doing that.
So you appreciate the opportunity to demo this product and provide constructive criticism, but you're going to... continue with the moisturizer and sunscreen approach, as I do. That actually is more effective.
Yeah, I mean, it's worked for us. Like you said, I feel like we look a lot younger than our actual age. And, you know, I've never really done one of those masks. So, I mean, what we're doing to me would seem to work. But those masks and every video that I've seen online and those people crying, going to the ER, and the end result isn't, I just don't understand why people would want to do that. I mean, beauty's a painful thing, I guess, right?
Yeah, and it depends upon what your skin is used to. And my skin knows to expect large amounts of sunscreen. So if it doesn't get it, it's going to start crying. And if it were to get something different, like one of these face masks, I'm not sure how it would take it, because I actually have fairly sensitive skin. And so
I do too, a little bit on my face. And so as soon as we started to apply it, that's when I could feel it tingle and burn, and then as it was ripped off of my face, it just felt like you were ripping your skin off. It kind of felt like that. So, and I'm sure everybody's skin's different, and would react differently. So maybe the product would work for some people, but just not for me. I don't think it. I didn't enjoy it.
Well, we appreciate the fact that in your radio career, not just now, but when you worked at the big 97.9 in Columbus, that you are kind of a guinea pig. You may be called a weasel, but it seems like you're more like the guinea pig, constantly demoing things or doing these things that were kind of on a dare. We talked about the famous cheerleader costume and the trip to Ann Arbor, Michigan. And so you were always doing things that were a little bit out of the ordinary. We discussed the pilfering of Madonna's chest covering material and how that went. So I would say, Weasel, that compared to what you may have done at the previous station, what we are having you do is quite lame.
I just think it's a different kind of station. I know that when I first, we were just talking about what we were going to do. The higher ups, I guess, if you will, are really still a little bit nervous, I think. You know, not sure what to expect, but, you know, we'll take it as far as we can, and then if they beat us down with the rubber mallet, then, you know, we'll go from there. But we're going to have a lot of fun doing so, I can tell you that.
And last but not least, before I let you go, I know I've already gone over my allotted time. And I'm sure you covered this before, but I don't remember it being discussed. Where did the name Weasel Boy come from, and what's the origin of that?
So when I first started, at the time it was the WNCI Morning Zoo. It had, I think the characters on it were, or the members, sorry, Dave Kalin, Jimmy Jam, Matt Harris, and Kim Zandi. So when I started that whole, process, the deal was they had to name their interns, because when I first started, I was an intern 3 days a week. Then they did me on the radio, so I needed a name. So I originally started with a royal name. It was Prince Chuck, they were going to call me, okay? And then it one other name, which I can't remember, and then Weasel, because of how I look, or they said they were going to put me in situations, and I had to try and get my way out of them. So, and that's what, it started out as Weasel Boy, and then it just stuck as Weasel, and that's what people have called me for over a decade, so it stuck, I guess.
Okay, well, that is a intriguing story. I guess you have to have a nickname, especially when you're kind of the lowest guy in the totem pole, and you're the one who is asked to don the cheerleading outfit and go to Ann Arbor and say, O-H, wake people up, knock on their door, and expect them to say, I-O, and of course they're not because of the intense rivalry, but at least you had a lot of fun. So it doesn't.
You know what I did? I had a lot of great experiences there, and hopefully they're going to continue here at WWGH, and I think, given the opportunity, and I think all the live shows are great. That's why I wanted to call in and just, support each other. So it's just been 2 weeks on the air, doing the show this third week. Like I said, we're going to kick it up a notch. We'll have a free gas card, some zoo tickets to give away, more T-shirts, all that good stuff. So we're just enjoying it, and hopefully everybody else is too. I mean, that's the point in life. Just have fun and laugh. That's it. That's what we're going
to
do.
Never take yourself too seriously, and if you run out of somebody to make fun of, always make fun of yourself.
And that's the best medicine, I think. And I'm an easy target, so you can make fun of me too.
That's fine.
Well, I encourage it.
We do that from time to time. Well, thank you, Chad H., a.k.a. The Weeze, The Weasel Boy, or just plain old Weasel. And everybody, be sure to set your alarm clock, make some coffee, don't party Friday night, because Saturday morning at 7:13 a.m. will be a radio spectacle that you don't want to miss.
That's right. You want to be sober, not hungover. Trust me, you'll love it. But, Adam, I think you're fantastic. Thanks for giving me the time on your show. I appreciate it.
No problem.
You're always welcome on ours as well.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too, Adam. Thank you.
And that is our semi-celebrity caller, Mr. Chad H. Weasel Boy, discussing his legacy as a renowned or maybe infamous radio host, his new program, Skincare Suggestions. And he and I have, again, kind of both in common. We don't look our age. And what's our secret? Again, I make it very clear, sunscreen. Don't ever go out in the sun, especially like it is today, without putting large amounts of SPF on your face. It does work, and it's not only a question of looking younger, it prevents diseases, not just skin cancer, but discoloration. And what else does it do? It's also very good for you in looking youthful and possibly preventing the diseases that are caused by too much sun exposure. That's what I wanted to say. And so that is our skincare tip for today. My favorite brand is Neutrogena, but there are many quality products out there and many stores locally that sell these products, so I do encourage you to purchase them as they are money well spent. This is the Adam the Computer Guy radio program where we discuss anything and everything, not only on the radio, both through your FM dial in the Marion area, but also broadcasting over the internet at our website, WWGH1071.com, and on the TuneIn app on a mobile device, but also broadcasting on Facebook video via my Facebook name, Adam Lepp, or Adam the Computer Guy. We thank Weasel Boy, who's also watching the video. We thank Barbara, a longtime friend of mine from the beautiful town of Plain City, Ohio. We have listeners from all over the great world we live in, and we certainly thank you for lending an eardrum. Feel free to call me to talk about technology topics or about music, about TV shows, politics, or the weather, or sunscreen, or skincare, or trying to look as young as possible, regardless of your actual age. Love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Current time is 36 minutes after the 2 p.m. hour, Eastern Daylight Time, at The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. What's going on in Baltimore? Not Baltimore, Ohio, but Baltimore, Maryland. Well, this is not good news, but I think it's important that you hear about it because it could prevent a serious problem from affecting you or someone you care about. Officials in Baltimore, Maryland, have admitted that the city government once again has been victimized by ransomware, the second such attack that Baltimore has faced in just over a year. City computers were infected with the Robinhood ransomware virus, according to the newspaper The Baltimore Sun. Hackers told city officials that they would unlock the computers in return for payment of 3 bitcoins per system, or 13 bitcoins for the entire system. Now, that's a lot of money, over $17,000 per computer, or over $76,000 for the entire system. The hackers gave officials 4 days to pay, or the ransom price would increase. They threatened to render the system's data irretrievable after 10 days. In addition, the hackers warned the city not to contact the FBI. Richard Young, the new mayor of Baltimore, said on social media that the city's essential services were still running and that there was no evidence that any personal information had been compromised as of this afternoon. He tweeted, "Baltimore City core essential services like fire, police, EMS, and 311 are still operational, but it has been determined that the city's network has been infected with a ransomware virus. City employees are working diligently to determine the source and extent of the infection. As a precaution, the city did shut down the majority of its servers. City officials were directed to disconnect their computers from the internet completely, as the virus was spreading from computer to computer. Employees reportedly were directed to unplug the Ethernet cable from computers and to turn off any connected divisions. The essential services remained operational, but other services have been disrupted, including the ability to discuss billing issues or make online payments, especially water bills. As a result, the Baltimore Department of Public Works announced via social media that it would suspend late water bill fees for both city and county customers. The Baltimore City Department of Transportation announced that 2 impound lots and its right-of-way services division also were affected by the computer network outage. The problem largely was contained shortly after it began, and city teams were able to quarantine the ransomware, but it was still unclear when affected systems could be back online. The FBI's Cyber Squad has been assisting Baltimore with its recovery efforts. Now, we talked before that this is not the first time that Baltimore has had a ransomware attack. They had a similar attack in 2018. Now, this one was more damaging as the ransomware purveyors become smarter, craftier, and they probably know what they could do better from their perspective from last time. So they get more dangerous, and they obviously need to be stopped in their tracks before it really gets ugly. Jim Portillo, associate professor in the computer science department at the University of Maryland in Annapolis, nearby city to Baltimore. He certainly should know about this, not just because he's a professor of computer science, but he's in the same part of the country. He said the event tells us that such attacks are on the rise, so much as it tells us that sensible practices are in decline. There's no way to say this. Two crippling attacks in a year is just pathetic. And again, the bad guys are taking note and right now are planning a way to make additional attacks, thinking that the victims didn't learn their lesson and didn't take the proper precautions to stop these very serious and unfortunate turns of events. Baltimore isn't the only target of such attacks. Atlanta last year fell victim to the SAM ransomware, which disrupted city government operations and functions for a considerable period of time. The Department of Justice, back in the fall of 2018, indicted two Iranian men for deploying that virus, whose victims included the city of Newark, New Jersey, as well as the Port of San Diego and the Colorado Department of Transportation. So some major government entities falling victim to this very dangerous ransomware. Mike Bittner, digital security and operations manager at the Media Trust, said, "Bad actors had no doubt that the 89,000 local governments across the country are in their crosshairs. These local governments make ideal targets because they collect and process a lot of citizen and business information, and their tight budgets prevent them from making much-needed IT security updates. For these city governments, getting hacked is not a matter of if, but when. Government offices, from the federal to the local level, typically don't replace computer services as frequently as corporations or individuals. Many of them rely on outdated systems, which make them a soft target for hackers, who typically use a well-read playbook in these attacks." David P. Vergara, director of product marketing at Chicago-based cybersecurity firm OneSpan, said, "As long as individuals can be manipulated via social engineering or phishing, and older unpatched software and weak perimeter security exists, these attacks will continue with 100% certainty. It's not reasonable that these attacks will be eliminated. However, for businesses and organizations to reduce their threat exposure, they should take the appropriate actions. It's important that they fully understand that these attacks can happen and that they are costly and complex to resolve. To address the issue effectively, there needs to be proper investment in preventative security measures. Initiate mandatory and ongoing employee training on phishing and related social engineering designed to obtain personal or business information, to refine attacks or trick them into installing malware. In addition, companies and government agencies at all levels should maintain perimeter security software and infrastructure and regularly test it. They also should leverage content filtering on mail servers to block suspicious or malicious attachments. Make sure that all systems and software are up to date. This is an easy one, yet still overlooked by many businesses and organizations." So the city of Baltimore, one of the biggest cities in this country, falling victim to a ransomware attack for the second time in 2 years. And This kind of stuff is very serious, and it can affect governments, companies, or even individuals. Bottom line is make sure that everything is up to date on your computer. Install anti-malware software. And if you ever have a question, not quite sure if what you're running is going to be effective, or maybe you think you may have an infection, don't be afraid to call your friendly neighborhood computer tech person. Because having a second set of eyes, especially ones that are trained in this kind of thing, ones that have seen these kinds of problems, is well worth the relatively small investment. Hopefully this will be the second, but the last attack of ransomware that will infiltrate the great city of Baltimore, Maryland. And I think it's worth taking every precaution possible to shut these bad guys out. It's hard to catch them, but it is possible to do everything that you know of. That's practically possible to prevent any future attacks. Adam Lepp here, the Computer Guy, on a show we call the Adam the Computer Guy radio program here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online by the power and magic of the Internet. At our website, WWGH1071.com, also broadcasting a live video on my Facebook page for Adam Lepp, or Adam the Computer Guy. You can watch me do the show. And of course, if you have a question or comment, you can provide it by including a comment on my live video, or do it the old-fashioned way, call our phone number right here at the station, 740-383-9944. I would love to hear from you because we are an interactive show and we are The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Want to let you know that we have other great live programs coming up this afternoon. We have Linda Sim and you every Monday and Tuesday afternoon, and The Pastor's Spot with local minister, Mr. Steve Whitaker. Excellent programming, locally produced. You might not only learn something, you might invite some conversation among your friends, family members, or coworkers. And your ears, in all cases, will certainly thank you. Tomorrow and every Wednesday afternoon between 4:10 p.m. and 5 is a new and also very interesting program with Nate Redmond. It's called Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond. Last but not least, if you win a prize on this radio station, congratulations! We do have new hours for prize pickup. Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to noon, and Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can come by and pick up the prize with our thanks and our congratulations. 2:48 in the p.m. on a nice, sunny, warm but not too warm May day here in Mid-Ohio on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. They call me the Computer Guy because I'm a local computer tech and I've been one for actually close to 25 years, but I am the webmaster of the radio station. I do multiple tasks here, which I very much enjoy. And of course, I host this program every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3, where we talk today's top and trendy technology topics. In addition, every Monday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11, I talk politics, current events, and history, often joined by our resident presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, and we call that program Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, or when Dr. Fineman joins me, a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. When I was on with Scott earlier in the afternoon, we talked about Facebook, maybe breaking up Facebook into smaller companies, somewhat like what happened over 35 years ago with the breakup of Ma Bell. And are there some parallels? Are there some differences? We kind of addressed that. Always seems like there's a scandal at Facebook or something that happens that seems to revolutionize the way that the world turns, as Facebook is certainly a very powerful force, not just financially and politically, but it affects everything we do 24 hours of the day, including this radio station where we post a lot of things on our Facebook page, not just the video like what I'm doing now, but show previews, show summaries, new show information, and of course, information on some upcoming events where we might visit a different city or have a celebrity guest on the phone or even in the studio. So even with this radio station, Facebook is an important source that we use pretty much around the clock. So what is Facebook doing? Of course, they make a lot of money, and they are raising the wages of contractors in some areas and adding benefits for those doing certain jobs. As Facebook and other tech companies face questions over how such workers are treated. In a blog post yesterday, Facebook said it will require that partner companies pay their workers a wage that is more reflective of local costs of living. Now, we've talked about how cost of living varies a lot based upon where you live. Nice thing about Marion, it's a pretty nice place to live, and it's rather low cost of living. It's much more expensive to live in San Francisco or New York City or Miami than in Marion. And also other cities in Ohio, Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Akron, low cost of living for a big city with a lot to offer. And that's one thing we love about Ohio. It may not be as fancy-dancy or as trendy as San Francisco, but I can assure you it is a heck of a lot more economical. So cost of living and wages should be related. And what $10 an hour gets you in Marion is not quite what $10 an hour will get you in San Francisco or New York City. So in the San Francisco area, as well as New York City and Washington, D.C., Facebook contractors will receive a minimum wage of $20 an hour. In Seattle, $18 an hour. Facebook has required that contractors be paid a $15 minimum wage since 2015. But according to this recent post, realize that wasn't enough in some areas of the United States. And yes, I would say that $10 an hour in Marion is more than what $20 an hour will get you in San Francisco or New York City. So it does have to depend upon where you hang your hat. The affected workers are employed by outside vendors and work either part or full time. They work for Facebook in areas like content review, security, food services, and transportation. The changes will take effect by the middle of next year in the United States. Facebook will work to extend these standards to other countries. The change in Facebook's treatment of contractors comes as the technology industry faces pressure to improve conditions for these types of workers. Silicon Valley companies have resisted making them full-time employees as they ultimately hope to replace them with artificial intelligence and other automation technology. Facebook has added thousands of content reviewers to the workplace to fight the spread of misinformation as well as violent and extremist content. At the same time, Facebook has faced criticism for the treatment of these workers and their working conditions. And again, in areas where the cost of living is high, New York City, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., contractors for Facebook will get at least $20 an hour. In Seattle, $18 an hour. That's as of mid-2020. And anywhere, at least $15 an hour. Contractors who review content on Facebook will get further benefits. They will receive a higher base wage, additional benefits, and more supportive programs in light of the type of work they're doing. The changes will include giving reviewers more control over the content they're seeing and on-site counseling during all hours of operation. Facebook is also working to implement requirements like no subcontracting, overtime pay, and premiums for night shifts and weekends and health care that meets the standards of the Affordable Care Act. It will also start a biannual audit and compliance program for content review teams and launch a whistleblower hotline for contractors. In April, Google announced it would require that temporary and contracted workers receive full benefits from companies it works with in the coming years. The move came after months of protests from Google's shadow workforce of temporary workers, as well as vendors and contractors who said they were treated unfairly. So Facebook paying some pretty decent money no matter where you are. If you're a Facebook contractor, you're going to make $15 an hour and as much as $20 an hour in cities with an obvious higher cost of living. I think that's a pretty good step. And Facebook, they do want to be a trendsetter. And again, they do influence the way the world turns, the way money moves, and how people think, not just about what goes on with their computer or their smartphone, but in their everyday life. And I think this does set a good precedent, so I do applaud Facebook for doing that. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, winding down my Tuesday, May 14th program here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. We thank you very much for listening. We thank you for calling in and for watching my live video. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2 p.m. p.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. To talk today's top technology topics, be they economic ramifications, I guess that makes a little bit of sense. Economic news. That's what I wanted to say. From the world of technology, from social media, the latest and greatest in smartphones from Apple, Samsung, and other makers of those very important and useful devices. We might talk about the bad guys. We talked about Baltimore for the second time in 2 years, getting hit with an expensive, embarrassing, and very time-consuming ransomware attack. Other cities like Atlanta and Newark, New Jersey also having to deal with that in recent times, and hopefully they will work to prevent these problems as there are a lot of bad guys out there, and unfortunately, the bad guys are increasing. It's one of the unfortunate prices that we pay for technology, and it's very sad, but it's something that we need to do. And hopefully, the cities will continue to work on a solution, one that's permanent and hopefully economical. Remind you that coming up later today, we have Linda Sims, and again, the pastor's spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Being that it is the month of May, the flowers are blooming, the birds are singing, the bees are buzzing. There are many great programs put on by our County Park District. On Monday, this coming Monday, May 20th, the Wildflower Program at Terradice, put on by the Marion County Park District, will be at 6 p.m. Coming up on the 25th, and you probably heard Zach talk about this, a big event. Marion, Ohio Weather Hike Series at the Tallgrass Trail from 12 to 2 p.m. Saturday the 25th. It is a great way to get out and explore your Marion County parks. A person from the Marion County Park District will be joining Charlie Evers like he or she does once a month, and that'll be this Thursday. Thursday, not this coming Thursday, but in about 2 weeks and 2 days, Thursday the 30th. Between 10 a.m. and 12, Charlie Evers, our local radio legend, will be having a person from the Marion County Park District join him to talk about all the beautiful wildlife and other nature-related stuff that we enjoy here in the beautiful Mid-Ohio area. Adam Lepp getting ready to sign off and thanking you so much for listening. It is a beautiful spring day out there. However, it is also great radio listening weather. So if you are out and about, go ahead and bring your Bluetooth headset while you're doing your chores or bicycling or jogging or doing yard work and listen to The Talking Place. We have wonderful radio programming for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When we don't have a live program, we rebroadcast one of our recent, excellent previous programs. So your ears will never be at a loss for enjoyment. Coming up at 3 p.m., we have news with Scott Spears, weather with Zach, messages from our valued supporters and underwriters. Have a great rest of your day. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.